Hello and welcome back to the verse by verse Bible teaching ministry of the Wash and Word. We are located on Highway 11 in Churchill, Tennessee, in the Powell Shopping Center. And there you can come and get a hand car wash. We do inside, outside. We can do full details. We have several different options on our menu. And my name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate this hand car washing business. And this business is twofold. It provides money for us as our family and our personal needs, but we also support this ministry through the money that we earn while washing your car. We are a fully supported ministry in and of ourselves, and that's what we want to do, because this car wash exists for the main reason of being able to preach and teach the Bible in a verse by verse format. And so the car wash exists so that we can give you the Word of God in all of its fullness and the entire counsel as we preach verse by verse each and every day on this radio station at 8:30 a.m. You can tune in and listen to us. You can also come by the Wash and Word, and anywhere in the parking lot, if you tune to 107.1 FM, you can listen to this and other messages as they play on a loop during open business hours. And finally, you can go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And you can find out all the information about this business, about this ministry. And there, of course, you can listen to all of our archived verse-by-verse Bible teachings. All right, we're going to pick it up in verse 30 in chapter 6 of the Gospel of John. And we ended last teaching talking about how important it is that we realize who we are. And that is that we are selfish, we are prideful, we are self-seeking, and, you know, not to beat ourselves up, not to diminish ourselves, and not even to provide a false humility. But we said all this stuff because the more we realize who we are, the greater we realize who God is, and that is how we grow to maturity. And I'm going to repeat how I left off last time, because I think it's important. In AD 55, Paul wrote these words: "I am the least of all the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle." 2 years later, he wrote in Romans, "What a wretched man I am." 3 years after that, he wrote in Ephesians 3:8, "Although I am less than the least of all God's people." And 3 to 5 years after that, he wrote, "I am the worst of all sinners." And I gave you those timelines because it shows how Paul, as he grew in his spiritual maturity, every couple of years, you see the words that he wrote, he actually made himself less and less and less. He became more aware of who he was, thus making us more aware of who God is. And it's important that we bring ourselves to a role of humility, that we can see truly how much God loves us. So, picking it up in verse 30, these people had come across the lake, have found Jesus. They wondered where he left, you know, why he left and where he went. He had finished feeding them. If you remember, they were the 5,000 that Jesus fed. And they come across and they ask him, you know, where'd you go? And, you know, when did you get here? And Jesus says, you know, you're only following me because of the works and the miracles I did. And in verse 29, we saw Jesus said, or rather verse 28, they asked him, well, what is the work that God requires? And Jesus said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent. And now we pick up where their response to that is. Verse 30. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. I have got to stop right there, because I read that and I'm like, my first words were, are you kidding me? Are these people for real? I mean, they just the day before had stuffed their bellies full of food that was literally created out of thin air. And when asked what they must do the work of God, Jesus said to believe in the Son. They flat out looked at Jesus and said, well, what miraculous sign can you give us to show us that you're the Son of God? It blows my mind. I mean, are they absolutely serious about this? Just the day before, Jesus created all that food out of 5 loaves and 2 fish. And this is the problem with miracles. It promotes an inner focus. Listen, the carnal mind is always focused on what the carnal body wants. I'm going to say that again. The carnal mind is always focused on what the carnal body wants. This is why we've got to get rid of our stinking thinking. The Bible in in Romans chapter 12 says that we are to renew our minds through the washing and regeneration of the word. We need to pour ourselves into God's word so that it flushes this carnal thinking out. Because if the carnal thinking goes away, if the carnal mind can somehow be pushed away or pushed aside, it will no longer focus on what the carnal body needs. Our new thought process, as is being regenerated by the teaching of God's word, will automatically give us a new focus. These people, God help them, were so carnal-minded that not only did they just want to see more miracles, but they wanted to see them on the heels of a miracle. That would be like if you're running through the woods and a bear is chasing you, and you're running, and out of desperation you say, "Oh God, please, please save me." And just then a tree falls on the bear and you're spared just before he's about to jump on you. And literally you wake up the next day in the woods. And you say something like, "Oh God, if you do exist or you care about me, you know, please," whatever, fill in the blank. I mean, I can't even fathom having or wanting to do something like this. And apparently multiplying what was already there wasn't enough for these people. They wanted something to appear out of nothing, like manna. They gave the example of manna. And so that's an interesting connection there, because Jesus made the multiplication take place out of something that was already there. And they're taking it one step further. They said, "Well, show us that you can do this out of nothing." Which, of course, is firstly an absurd thing to say. But whatever the request, whether it was them asking for more stuff to be made out of something that was already there or something to be made out of thin air, whatever the request, the reason they were asking that is because the carnal mind wanted what the carnal body wanted. Now, I have a prayer request. It's not for me. It's for you. I request that you will start praying, if you don't already. Start asking God to give you spiritual eyes so that you may view this world with a spiritual mindset. And let me tell you, that is an amazing thing to ask for, an amazing thing to achieve, that you view this world with a spiritual mindset, with spiritual eyes. I've said this before, that all of life is spiritual. All of it. The carnal stuff, the stuff you can touch, the spiritual war that is raging around you at all times. All of life is spiritual, and we need to be approaching life, all of it, as such. In Romans 8:6, it says, "The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." And if you pray for spiritual eyes, your mind will become spiritual and everything begins to change. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. In Romans, I just quoted it, it says that we are to renew our minds. We renew them because we have been given the mind of Christ at salvation, but that doesn't mean our minds are stayed upon Christ or they're always thinking like Christ. We are constantly fighting this spiritual war, and so we have to renew our minds. We already have the mind of Christ. Now let us renew them through the washing and regeneration of the word. Spirit-led actions are the result of spirit-led thoughts. Spirit-led actions are the result of spirit-led thoughts. And thus the opposite is true. Carnal, sinful actions are the result of carnal, sinful thoughts. Every sin you ever committed, I guarantee you, started up here. And I know this is a radio program, but I'm pointing at my head. They start in the mind. You think about them. You actually visualize them. And then you act them out. But what if your eyes and your mind were changed? What if they no longer thought so carnally, but they began to think spiritually? What would that do to your actions? Well, it would change them dramatically, thus changing this world dramatically. Jesus says that they will know you are my disciples by what? By the fruit that you bear. And I'm getting off on a little bit of a tangent here, but it's okay, because I think somebody out there needs to hear this, needs to know this, that you are not a slave to your thoughts. Your heart and mind can be changed. But this is how it needs to be done. And I'm going to repeat this twice, and I beg you, write this down. Put it into words, because it is so important and it is so good. Listen, I cannot change my heart, but I can change my mind. God won't change my mind, but he can change my heart. So if I change my mind, God will change my heart. Do you get that? I'm going to say it again. You and I, we cannot change our heart. Our heart is corrupt. It is morbid. It's not something we can change. God can change our heart. Listen, I can't change my heart, but I can change my mind. And God, being a perfect gentleman and allowing free will, won't change your mind, but he can change your heart. So if I change my mind, which I have control over, God will change my heart, which I don't have control over. Do you understand that? Do you get that? That is why the verse-by-verse diligent Bible study is so important, because it changes your mind. And when your mind changes, God can change your heart. Listen, this is a gem that I'm giving you here, folks. This isn't any kind of pride issue. Isn't that I think I'm really good. I probably heard this somewhere else, but I'm passing on a gem to you. I can't change my heart, but I can change my mind. God won't change my mind, but he can change my heart. So if I change my mind, God will change my heart. And that is the difference between a life that seeks what we might call belly fulfillment versus a life that seeks eternal fulfillment. Your attitude, your thoughts, and your perspective. Jesus goes on to explain the difference. Look at verse 32 if you're following along. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Now we see that statement again. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. We're going to run out of time here soon, so I can't read as much as I want to. But that last sentence, stop for a quick pit stop. I like to consider myself a realist when it comes to viewing this world. Some might call it cynical, which it might be, but I prefer realist. Now, I remember one time I was sitting around a table with a bunch of other pastors, and we were talking about classic movies. And, you know, one of these guys was talking about The Sound of Music, and another one, you know, brought up Ben-Hur, and they're bringing up these old type movies that were so innocent. And then this other pastor spoke up, and he said, and he's like, Sound of Music? He goes, what about Die Hard? You know, and it just struck me funny, because a group of pastors, and here's one who had the courage to stand up and say, we're talking about great classic movies. What about Die Hard? Now, I'm not supporting R-rated movies and all the such. That's a tangent I'm not going to get off on here. But the point is, I mean, we got to be realistic, and we have to be realists. And I understand that the reality is most of us, Christians in general, you know, we're not full-blown sinners in our minds. We're not walking around thinking about doing evil all the time, nor are we walking around thinking about doing good. But that answer that these guys in the scripture here gives, it reflects who most of us are, or where most of us are at. From now on, give us this bread. We're gonna have to stop right there, and we're going to pick it up where we left off here in our next teaching. But you know, we've got to remember that our minds really control our actions, and we have the ability to alter our minds and to alter our thinking. And that is what I ask that you pray about this week. Until tomorrow, I pray that these messages are a blessing. Again, you can go to the washandword.com website, and there you can find out all about the business and hear archived messages. Until tomorrow, have a blessed day.